you'd open up your Bible today over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So we're continuing our series, The Seven Motivations of the Christian Life. Today we're going to be talking about the promise of rewards. The promise of rewards. And this is part one because we cannot go as far as we want today with this topic without racing through it and ending up being somewhat insignificant in what we say because we do such a bad job of it. I want us to be able to think today about this. This is an issue that is very clearly in the Word of God. And the motivation of rewards, this promise of rewards. Last 2 weeks we talked about the motivation of the imminent return of Christ, that Jesus could come back at any moment. Well, when he comes back at any moment, it's not a matter of him just coming back and when he sees us saying, hi, and that's it. That's not it. We are going to be raptured. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, we will ever be with the Lord, but understand this. What takes place after the rapture is something called the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat of Christ is a judgment having to do with not whether we go to heaven or hell. It's for Christians. It takes place in heaven. But it has to do with the way we lived our lives since we put our faith in Christ. Have we squandered it? Have we invested it properly? Have we lived with right values, wrong values, somewhere in between? God is the judge. The Lord Jesus is the judge. And he is going to, we are going to have to give an account to him concerning this. Now, today we're just focusing on the reward aspect of that. And then next week we're going to be talking about the event of the judgment seat of Christ. So we're going to talk maybe a little bit about the judgment seat today, but this concept in the scriptures, this motivation concerning rewards. Now, you may be here today and you may think, as a lot of Christians think, because they think it's spiritual to say things like that. They'll say, well, you know what? This idea of reward motivation, that's carnal. People shouldn't be motivated by rewards. Well, just we'll just park that for now and we'll get to that in just a few minutes. And hopefully you'll see a little differently, okay, on that, because the truth of it is, your motive is an issue, but your motivation, it's not carnal, and we're going to see that today. Now, this motivation, this issue of reward or the promise of reward is a natural one. And, you know, I do not believe it's rooted in man's pride. I believe it is wired in man's DNA. This is a natural thing, and it isn't necessarily, you know, we say, well, it's motivated by pride. No, the truth of it is you are being judgmental on that. You cannot read a person's heart to know what is motivating them, what is driving them in this regard. This is very natural. The vast majority of people appreciate it when they are rewarded or recognized for a job well done. And this, by the way, does not go contrary to Scripture or the teaching of Jesus, as we will see. We enjoy getting recognized for accomplishments. Now, how you deal with that's another thing, but there's nothing wrong with that recognition. It usually means a lot to us. People who compete in athletics or anything else usually do it to win a prize, so to speak. That's what the competition is about. And the Bible has a lot to say about such a thing. Paul used this illustration often in his writings, having to do with an athlete striving and having self-discipline and so forth. For what reason? So, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so that he may win the prize. Now, that's a reward of some kind or another. Paul spoke a lot about reward, as did Jesus. One of the things years ago, this is back in the 90s, the early to mid 90s, that opened my eyes. I was not aware how much of the Bible, particularly the New Testament, talked about reward until it was pointed out to me. And I started doing my own study, and it has changed my life to see that this is, in fact, a biblical motivation. Therefore, it's from God in the Word of God. And it is a true motivation for living the Christian life. Now, I'm not saying you're always going to be motivated as a Christian by rewards, but there may be times when you are. And certainly the judgment seat of Christ is part of that topic having to do with reward motivation. And we're going to talk about how that judgment goes down next week. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" Paul says, "So run that ye may obtain." Now, let me qualify that. We are not competing with one another. You know, and I wish some Baptists would get that through their heads. Because for whatever reason, there's a lot of competition among independent Baptist churches. And I think maybe, okay, I got to be careful with that. Some of that is driven by pride. I don't know, but maybe in some cases it is. Folks, we are not competing with one another. We are working with each other for the glory of God. The one we are competing against is ourselves. We're competing against ourselves. We're competing against our flesh, not one another. Listen, if you feel like you're competing with a brother or sister in Christ, all right, you are not seeing biblically. You need to confess that. You need to get that taken care of and understand we're supposed to be striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, maybe somebody else is, but that's their problem. It's not your problem. It's not my problem. I'm not competing with somebody else. And we need, there's sometimes a temptation with that. We need to be careful not to do that. Verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it," they being those in the secular field. Paul specifically referring to the Isthmus Games that were prevalent in his days, sort of like what we would see as the Olympics today. What do they run for? You know, they train. You think of the athletes today, particularly the Olympian athletes. They train, year in, year out. 4 years they're training. Well, of course, longer than that, most of them, but 4 years in between Olympics, coming up to the time when they're going to participate in the Olympic Games. And they're striving. What are they striving for? They're striving for the crown. The crown is the reward, folks. The crown is the reward of winning. And there's nothing wrong with that, but let's understand, it's reward from God. And when we get rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, we will not blow up with pride and say, "I am superior to all others. I'm the one." No. Number one, we won't be able to swell up because that's pride and that's a sin, and there will be no sin in heaven. Our old natures will be gone. We will understand that anything we have accomplished has been by the grace of God, not by us. Right? You think about it. When God uses you or me to accomplish something for His glory, understand this. What have we to boast of? Ourselves? No, we boast in our Lord. Why? Well, He's given us His Word. That's our directions. We didn't invent the Word of God. He's given us a new nature. That didn't come from us. He's given us His Holy Spirit. That's God Himself. That didn't come from us. He's given us the ability by His grace. That didn't come from us. So what came from us? The only thing that came from us is us saying, "Lord, I want to participate with You. I want to be a co-laborer," 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "with You." And so all the power, all the ability, all the knowledge, all the wisdom, everything comes from God. So when He rewards us, folks, that's an act of the grace of God. That's an act of the grace of God. By the way, He did not have to even create this concept of reward. I don't know about you, but I'm happy enough just to know I'm going to heaven when I die. But you know what? The Lord says this. When He saves us and we are awestruck by the grace of God and that we're saved forever from hell, no chance of us ever going to hell. When we are awestruck by that, He says to us, and I don't mean this in a wrong way, He says to us, "But wait, there's more. There's more." Because He has a plan, and if I could call it a system, of rewards that He has promised and He has created for those who will faithfully serve Him. That's a reward motivation. And if that wasn't meant to be a reward motivation, He would have never put it in the Bible to begin with. I don't think He would have. So you see verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery," in other words, to win, "is temperate," or self-controlled, "in all things. Now they do it," the world does it, "to obtain a corruptible crown." And the corruptible crown, what it was, is it was a wreath made of branches. And when somebody, let's say a runner, would win his competition, then he would go in front of the emperor or the governor, and he would go up and they would take this wreath made out of branches and leaves, you might say. All that sweat and tears for that? See, it's a matter of accomplishment. It's a matter of recognition. But they would take that and they would put that on the head. But that's corruptible. What does that mean? It's going to rot away. It's going to rot, right? We don't strive for a corruptible crown. We strive for an incorruptible crown. That means a crown that will never fade away, that will never rot. It's divine. It's from God. It's spiritual in nature, not carnal in nature. Look with me to John chapter 12 and verse 26. Jesus made a promise here. And again, understand the scriptures we're reading, folks. We did not invent them. These are given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is part of God's program and plan for His children. And it says this in verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If we serve, we will be honored by God Himself. Now that is a staggering thought, if you think of that for just a second. Wait a minute. All honor and glory should go to the Lord. That is true, but you know what? God in His grace says, yes, I am God, and I am the one who deserves all honor, but you know, those of you who live faithfully for me, I will honor you too. Isn't that amazing? Listen, that's got grace written all over it, because we don't deserve that. We don't deserve that. So this is very important. This is Jesus speaking and telling His listeners that if they will serve the Lord, God will honor them. This is reward motivation. Otherwise, why would He say it if it wasn't reward motivation? Now, the idea of receiving honor is something that every person can relate to. But before we get too far into this, I want to make an important distinction. And here's the distinction. We are not talking about laboring and living for Christ to get to heaven. You cannot get to heaven by works. You cannot get to heaven by laboring and being faithful and persevering and discipline, self-discipline and so forth. None of those things. We are saved simply by putting our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Salvation is a gift, not something we can earn. I love the old Scofield study notes. It says this: God in the New Testament scriptures offers to the lost salvation, and for the faithful service of the saved, rewards. The passages are easily distinguished by remembering that salvation is invariably spoken of as a free gift, while rewards are earned by works. A further distinction is that salvation is a present possession, while rewards are a future attainment to be given at the coming of the Lord. Boy, don't you like it when people speak clearly like that? I love it when they're distinct, to the point, and accurate. See, there's that distinction. This distinction is vital, and I don't want to take it for granted that everyone understands it. But listen, you cannot earn your way to heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you... We'll do this. You hear it every week. Would you quote it with me? Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are not saved by our works. Why? Because heaven's a perfect place. We could never earn our way to heaven because we are sinners. We are sinners. Here we are, we're sinners. Therefore, if heaven's perfect, I'm disqualified. It's as easy as that. You can pile on as many good works as you want. It will not take away the sin. The sin has to be taken away. If it's not taken away and I die in that condition, or you die in that condition, you'll be lost forever. You'll be lost forever. The good news of the gospel is because there is nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. We are helplessly lost to save ourselves. Jesus came. God the Son came into this world. My favorite Christmas verse, and it's really not a Christmas verse, but I've made it one. 1 John chapter 4 says, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Boy, that just has a rhythm to it, right? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And that's why Jesus came. God the Father sent God the Son to be the Savior of the world. Sinless, because He's God, yet man, therefore able to be my substitute and yours. And when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for all my sin. All of it was laid on Him. Came back from the dead, and He says in His word that if I will simply believe in Jesus Christ, that He did that, made that payment for me, He would give me that moment everlasting life. He'd never lose me. He'd never cast me out. This is the best news. This is the good news. This is the good news the angels were singing about. By the way, have you ever noticed how many Christmas songs talk about angels? Amazing how many. Why? Well, those angels had something to shout about. It was good news. And when you trust Christ as Savior, God saves you by His grace. Grace is unmerited kindness, undeserved mercy. It's not something we deserve. We deserve hell. But God in His love and His moved by the grace of God, His grace came to our rescue and provided for us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all who put their faith in Him, God saves them forever, cleanses them of their sin, gives them eternal life, brings them into His family, and they're safe and secure forever. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Not by our works, through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's me, that's you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The promise is there. You will not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. You go to heaven based on what? Whether you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. He's the only way. It's a gift. It's not done by works. Remember now, and I'll say it again, salvation is a gift. It's not a reward. You'll hear some gospel songs sometimes, okay? And they'll talk about heaven being our reward. No. Do you know what you're saying? Be careful of what you're saying. Heaven's not a reward. Heaven is a gift. Rewards are rewards. There's a difference. There's a difference. Now, with that in mind, hopefully everybody's got that down. Let's go to number one. Let's look at the basis of rewards as a motivation. Where do I get this idea? It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Years ago, there was a TV commercial when we used to watch TV and even before that growing up. And it was for Prego, Italian sauce. And they talk about, you know, I'd be smelling it and all this kind of stuff. And Prego really does smell good. I mean, it really does smell good. And I wish I had a jar of it right now. Warmed up just enough. You know, people say, well, I love spaghetti and meat sauce and all that. You know what? You keep the spaghetti. Give me the meat sauce. Just give me a bowl. Fill it with the meat sauce and I'll sit there with a spoon and enjoy it. I'll let my eyes roll back a little bit as I eat it. Good stuff. But the commercial, they talk about, well, you ought to put this in the sauce. You put, and they're saying, it's in there. It's in there. It's in there. Okay. Meaning what? It's in the sauce. But you know what? Where is this? Where do we get this idea of motivated, being motivated by rewards? It's in there. It's in the Word of God. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 19. I love Peter. I love Peter. I love Peter. He's always putting his foot in his mouth. Not really. You know what? He had courage. Now, we know he wasn't perfect in courage because he denied the Lord 3 times. But he had courage. He was the one who would ask the questions that everybody else was thinking about, right? But they were afraid to say it. Jesus walking on the water. Yeah, little Peter, you know, he got out in the boat and he walked and then he sank. Lord, help me, Lord, help me. Yeah, but you know what? He had more faith than the others because they were too scared to even ask. They didn't get out. And by the way, he did walk on water. That's a miracle. But he took his eyes off of the Lord, just like we take our eyes off the Lord, we begin to sink. Every time we take our eyes off the Lord, we begin to sink. Sounds like a message. Matthew 19, then answered Peter and said unto him and to the Lord. You know, I just kind of see Peter as kind of the guy who just kind of, you know, went along and just would talk and ask questions. And, you know, he would react to things. Peter said, behold, we have forsaken all. Hey, wait a minute. That's the price of discipleship. Did we know that? That's what Jesus asked of his disciples. Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have, therefore? You do not see in verse 28 where Jesus rolled his eyes and said, no, not one second. You might say, well, that Peter, he was being carnal. No, he wasn't. He was asking a spiritual question. How do you know that? Read the next verse. It's in there. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me, you know, Jesus could have rebuked them and said, Peter, will you get your eyes off yourself? Quit being selfish. Think about the fields all ripened to harvest. No, Jesus knew his heart. It was a legitimate question. Jesus said, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, that's the kingdom age, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Yeah, but wait a minute, Pastor. I mean, that's the apostles, and we're not apostles. You know, the apostles are off the scene. We're not done. Keep reading. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, the everlasting life here, it's not talking about getting to heaven. It's talking about realizing your reward within your salvation, which will take place in the kingdom age. It's what's going to take place now. It's the reward aspect, the reward within the sphere of our eternal life. I believe that's what he's getting at here. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Notice, no rebuke for him asking, what's in this for us? Because that is what he's asking. What shall we get? We've forsaken all this. What are we going to get? And Lord says, let me tell you what you're going to get. And what he tells them is there's going to be a reward. See, the Bible, particularly the New Testament, is full of teaching, of the teaching of rewards as a motivation. Now, the word reward, usually in the Bible, when you see the word in the New Testament, reward, it's usually the Greek word misthos, and it means remuneration for work done. Remuneration for work done. That's what it means. It means pay or wages. Wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying that if I serve the Lord, he's going to pay me for that? Yes. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Well, I don't know about that. I was reading his commentary. Whoa. Read your Bible. Look up the words in the Greek. Get your Strong's lexicon out. Look up the words in your Greek lexicon. You see whether I'm telling you is the truth or not. It's the truth. It's the truth. Okay? There's a payday someday. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. As a matter of fact, that word reward is actually translated in some places as wages. Did you know that? See, when Jesus talks about, we'll get there in just a minute, sending it ahead, that's investment. It's investment. Now, there's not a whole lot in this world to invest in right now. Even if you have money to invest, where are you going to invest it? You might as well put it under your mattress. It's about the investment return you're going to get. Now, maybe a little bit more than that. But still, you got to be careful. John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth what? Wages, misthos. Misthos, same Greek word. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. By the way, you don't just get a reward for reaping. You also get a reward for sowing. Isn't that the grace of God? You know, you witness to somebody or leave a track someplace. You might say, well, what if a person doesn't trust Christ through that? You've been faithful. God's going to reward you. Isn't it great to know that God's the one who keeps the books on these things, not us? Isn't it great to know? Isn't this a marvelous truth? This ought to rejoice our hearts as Christians. You might say, you know what? I don't remember. I get discouraged sometimes because I feel like, you know, I'm really not accomplishing a whole lot for the Lord. Can I tell you this, dear friend, that from the day you got saved, every single thing you did for the Lord, he has kept track of it. Every prayer, every kind word, every word of encouragement, every track handed out, every person you witnessed to, everybody you encouraged, he's kept track of that. And God is going to reward his children for all of it. Aren't you glad you don't have to keep track of it? Sort through it. We'll talk more about that next year. Well, what about my motive? God's the motive keeper. He knows. You know, Paul says, he says, I can't even judge myself because sometimes I don't even know my motive for doing things. Oh, but God does. God does. And he's going to reward us according to all of that at the judgment seat of Christ. You think about that. That ought to rejoice our hearts. There are people I've witnessed to, you know, some of them, you remember years ago when I was doing junior high ranch ministry, who knows how many kids came through ranch that heard the gospel. Not all of them got saved. Okay, I know that. But you know what? Couldn't remember probably a tenth of the names, even the ones who came faithfully now. If I saw them and I heard the name, it probably, maybe, depends on how much their looks have fallen apart. But, oh yeah, But you know what? God knows. God knows. And God knows in your life. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receives wages. Wages. That's good news, isn't it? Look with me to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm just picking and choosing some verses. To be honest with you, we could be here for hours and hours and hours covering this. I will go out on a limb and say this. I believe this is one of the major teachings in the New Testament is the issue of rewards. It's a major teaching. One of the major teachings in the New Testament. You see it everywhere. Matthew 5 and verse 11, part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord says in verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Have you ever had that said? I've had more lies told about me. It's unbelievable the lies that have been told about me, told about our church, that are just 100% false. Why do people do it? Well, either they hate the truth or they're convicted by the truth, usually. But look what it says in verse 12. Rejoice, rejoice, and be exceeding glad. For what? Great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What's the Lord saying? You know what? You ought to rejoice. You're in good company. Because think of the great prophets. Think of Isaiah. Think of Jeremiah. These great men of God who were God's spokesman for the time. And yes, you know, they suffered incredible persecution. Some of them lost their lives. Folks, we're in good company when we get persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not for obnoxiousness' sake, righteousness' sake. Jesus talked about laying up treasures in heaven, didn't he? Matthew chapter 6, just a page over if you want to look there. Matthew 6 and verse 19, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's reward. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, incorruptible, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Isn't that good news? I say, well, pastor, but, you know, dispensationally, this is talking to the Jews and all that. Yeah, but wait a minute. We're going to be in the kingdom. We're going to be there. The apostles are the foundation, humanly speaking, of the church, right? Are they going to be in the kingdom? Yes. Jesus told Peter it's going to happen in the kingdom, in the regeneration. We're going to be there, too. Now, I know there may be some people who differ with this. I personally believe every saint of all time is going to be in the kingdom. All saints of all time are going to be there. And there are some people who say, no, the church stays in heaven. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. If you read Revelation 19, the church comes back with Jesus at the second coming to be part of his kingdom. Well, wait a minute now. If the second coming is an Old Testament prophecy, as well as New Testament, as long as you rightly divide the word of truth, okay. So if the Old Testament saints are going to be in the kingdom, well, that's a big bunch. And then the New Testament saints are going to be in the kingdom. The church is going to be there. So who does that leave? I can't wait to see Adam and Eve. Noah, Cain and Abel. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, we'll talk about these verses more in detail next week. But it says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8, we're just laying the foundation here today on the basis of rewards as a motivation. Where do we get the idea? Well, it's found in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I'm not going to be rewarded for what you do. You're not going to be rewarded for what I do. It's, I believe, confined to my life is what I'm going to be rewarded for. What I have done by the grace of God as a co-laborer with Christ. That's what I get. I don't get rewarded for what you do. You don't get rewarded for what I do. Verse 14. If any man's work abide at the judgment seat of Christ, at the judgment which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive, there it is again, a reward. Turn with me to chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 17, Paul says, for if I do this willingly, more about it in a minute, sharing the gospel. If I do it willingly, that's his right motive, I have a reward. But if against my will a dispensation or stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me, go with me over to Colossians chapter 3. I know we're moving quickly, but I'm just getting you familiar with this as being part of the teaching of the Word of God as a biblical motivation. Colossians chapter 3. Now, I know the context here is slaves in relation to masters, but the principle is a true principle nonetheless for all saints. And it says in Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing, in other words, because of this, knowing this is the foundation of why," that's a motivation, "knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward." There's that same word, misthos again. The reward of the inheritance, that is another word, I believe. "Knowing that you shall receive of the Lord a reward of the inheritance, for you serve Christ." This could be translated, "knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward consisting of the inheritance." Now, there's the inheriting of eternal life, and there's a reward inheritance as well. A reward inheritance. One is, of course, inside the other. We would have no ability to have, or no, not any qualification to have a reward inheritance if we didn't have eternal life as an inheritance already. Eternal life as an inheritance, that's 1 Peter 1:4-5. When you trust Christ, you have inherited everlasting life, a home in heaven. Now, as believers, we can serve Christ and we can get a reward inheritance. In other words, it's part of the inheritance we can get from serving the Lord. Look with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The great section of Scripture here, right before chapter 11, where it talks about chapter 11, the great hall of faith or hall of fame in God's eyes, great heroes of the faith who were faithful to Him. And in Hebrews, of course, we know Hebrews is written to Jewish believers who started out good and then persecution came and they started wanting to revert back into their old system. And Hebrews is written to them. And I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. I can't prove it, but I believe that. And he's saying, you know what? Don't faint. Don't lose heart. Don't go back. Stay on track. Why? You need to go on to maturity because there's nothing better than Jesus Christ. Hebrews teaches the superiority of Jesus Christ above anything else. Jesus Christ is number one. And there's nothing better. Listen, if we don't follow the Lord as Christians, we are settling for less than God's best for us. That's the thrust of Hebrews. And over, that is explained in Hebrews. But you know, part of what Hebrews tells us is this. If we will persevere, if we will stay faithful, if we will endure as believers, not to get to heaven, but because we're saved and God's called us to discipleship. If we will endure, He promises us great reward in heaven. And that's what it says in Hebrews 10:35. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Great recompense. In other words, there's a payback if you're faithful to the Lord. Don't throw it away. Don't falter. Don't say, well, you know what? I'm tired of trying to live for Christ. I'm tired of church. I'm tired of trying to live a separated life. I'm tired of trying to be a faithful witness. Sometimes I just struggle. I'm up and down and all, forget it. I'm just going to throw in the towel. God says, don't do that. Stay faithful because there's great reward to those who will endure. To those who will persevere. Go to chapter 11 of Hebrews. Uses Moses as an example. We all remember Moses, right? He's the guy that looked like Charlton Heston. Just kidding. Makes you wonder. Pastor, do you know anything about the way Moses looked? I do know one thing. I think I can say this with confidence about the way Moses looked. I bet you anything he had a tan. I bet you he had a tan. Why? Spent so much time in a desert, right? Listen, if you were walking from Egypt all the way to Israel or you spent 40 years in the wilderness, you'd have a tan, let me tell you. I don't think they had sunscreen back then. I could be wrong. I don't think the guys wore veils. Hopefully not. Be a man. Don't carry a purse either. Good grief. Somebody won't like it. Not in our church, but somebody may hear it. Sorry. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:26, talking about how Moses walked by faith and endured. And he forsook the world that he lived in, the riches of Egypt, for the pleasure and the honor of God. It says this in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Wow. Wow. Folks, that's huge. The treasures of Egypt, there wasn't anything bigger than that. And yet he says, you know what? To be reproached for the Lord, I understand there's greater riches in that than all that Egypt could give me. And he forsook Egypt and he had the privilege of Egypt. Remember, for he had respect unto the what? the recompense of reward. He says, the reward that God has for me, if I will just stay faithful, is going to be greater than anything Egypt could have ever given me. Now, if that's not reward motivation, I don't know what is. 2 John chapter 1. Turn there with me. 2 John 1. So who have we looked at? Well, we looked at Jesus' teaching. We've looked at Paul's teaching. Here's John. We've looked at John's teaching. Matthew, you know, I know John and Matthew are quoting Jesus, but still it's in their writings by inspiration. So you've got Matthew writing it. You've got Jesus saying it. You've got John writing it. You've got Jesus saying it. We've got Paul writing it. I believe he did Hebrews. You've got it recorded there. And then you have John again writing it in 2 John 1:8. It says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Reward. This was an issue. This was a motivation. Let's go to the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22. And what does the Lord say? Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward, my wages, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Now, folks, this is clear. A couple more passages very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look here with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're kind of just cracking the door a little bit. I can see we did not get nearly as far as I'd planned today. We'll pick up next week. Maybe this will end up being a three-weeker. Can you take it? 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8. Paul says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. You might say, wait a minute, I thought we're already accepted in Christ. This word accepted means well-pleasing, well-pleasing to Him. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, all believers, may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. It is clear that one of the things that motivated Paul was reward, reward. Okay? Now listen today. Next time we're going to be talking about some specific rewards that Christ will give. Some specific rewards that He will give. Folks, this is, maybe you've never seen this before, and maybe this is all new to you, how many scriptures point to this, and I have just barely scratched the surface. I want to challenge you. Start in Matthew and start reading through the entire New Testament and look for the word reward or something like that, recompense, or something that has to do with that idea. You will be amazed how much is in the Word of God in this regard. But you know what? Today we've talked about what? Faithful service for Christians. Let me say it one more time. You don't get to heaven by being faithful. You get to heaven by simply believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. When I say believing in Jesus Christ, I'm not saying believing He existed, believing He was a historical figure. No, putting your faith in Him that He died for you on the cross and paid for all your sins and came back from the dead. You're putting your faith in Him that He is your way to heaven, that He is the Savior, who He claimed to be and who the angels hollered, broadcast all over the place. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Greatest news in all the world. If you've never trusted Christ, trust in Him to save you. All your works are of no merit whatsoever until you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you trust Him today? Well, friends, that concludes this edition of Voice of Assurance. Thanks so much for listening. And would you share this ministry with a friend? To contact us or learn more about our ministry, please visit www.northlandchurch.com. Your prayers and support for this ministry are greatly appreciated. Thank you so much, and God bless you.